This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark. Today I have with me on the line Eric Young, Managing Director of Crest Builder Holdings. Eric, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Morning, Lynn. Yeah.
So as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the movement control order, which was instituted here in Malaysia, Crest Builder fell into the red for the first time since the fourth quarter of 2015. But seeing as this situation appears to have stabilized, when do you anticipate being able to return to the black?
Maybe I could put in a little backstory to this.
Sure.
You see, actually Q2, we fell into the red. Because one of the main things that happened is, everyone knows the movement control order, the MCO, of which we were not able to work for almost 3 months. Nonetheless, even though works actually resumed back in early May, it was still not on full swing. Hence, you see, all this actually affected our Q2 tremendously. The full swing works actually came in towards sometime about mid-June. One of the main reasons that all this is like, because the SOPs were not really finalized, and along the way there were so many other extra SOPs, the workers testing, PCR testing. And back then we faced situations with shortage in test kits, and then along the way we had all these little headaches that came in. So Q2 is pretty much wiped out. That's why we fell into the red. Of course, along the way, I think financially we also did a little impairment as well, a little small impairment of some doubtful debtors. But nonetheless, we expect Q3 for things to pick up because since July, everything has been full swing already.
I mean, as you referenced, construction does make up the bulk of your revenue. What does full swing for you look like, considering that, the Bursa Malaysia Construction Index indicates that construction works have yet to return to pre-MCO levels, although they have recovered since the obvious lows that we saw in March?
I would say for the whole sector, of course, overall, it's still affected. But I think at Crest Builder, for us, we are very thankful that my projects are actually all going full swing. But I'll give you the comparison. You see, back in early May, if my project usually has got, let's say, 1,000 workers ongoing, back in May, we probably only had about 250, 300 workers.
Mm.
Those who were ready to work, and it slowly picked up. And as of from July onwards, we were back to full capacity already. And one of the reasons why it was not full swing yet back then, apart from the testing and all these things, and there were, the material shortage, the little temporary shortage because of delivery and so on, those also affected. And then along the way, now, you see, for us, right, concrete supply is really back to full swing. Yeah, our building materials, steel bars, and even our certain imported materials like tiles, sanitary wares, all are already all back in order. So on my side, my projects all being in the city center, and my workers have got all in their proper centralized labor camps, I think, labor quarters. I think for us, we are very thankful that we are able to go back to full swing in Q3 already. Yeah. But I understand there are a lot of contractors out there who are still suffering because some have got, apart from SOP and CLQ issues, then next night now you have got a shortage of foreign workers as well. So it's really a multi-pronged situation or issues that they are facing right down there. So I think it's very unfortunate for some of these contractors as well. Yeah.
So do you think you'll be able to finish the end of your financial year in the black then, considering for the first quarter you managed to avoid charting a loss, although the fourth quarter of your 2019 financial year was also in the red? So you've got one black quarter, one red quarter. Going forward, will you be able to sustain the momentum that you've built up in this recovery period?
Yeah, I believe our core operations-wise, I think we will go back into the black for a full year. We are very confident that Q3, Q4, the numbers will pick up. I do hope that, I'm very hopeful that we will return back to the black for the full year. Yeah.
And talk to me a little bit about your labor force as well, because you referenced the fact that, your centralized worker camps, you've had to perhaps make some changes with the SOPs that have been put in place by the government. How much has that set you back, and in terms of time as well as cost?
Okay, you see, some of the SOPs that were implemented firstly, the all workers have to be tested. And then further to that, then you have your sanitization at the sites and so on. And then every worker, you know, with your physical distancing, and then they enter the project site, you know, you need to do your temperature checks and so on. So actually, there's a lot of these little disruptions. And even during the early stages, we even staggered our workers, whereby we had half the workers working at maybe certain hours, and then another half are working in another hour. So we had to split all this. But now that I think we are seeing the situation in Klang Valley improving quite a fair bit, we are able to go full swing. The workers are actually all working concurrently. And SOP, we are still following SOPs. I mean, the workers are still wearing their masks. They're still doing all the temperature checking every day. But I think it's slowly becoming a norm already, because I think workers, they are also very worried, because they know that in the event if any mishaps happen or any misunderstanding or anything, they may be caught and thrown into a detention camp. And if you look at the recent stories, actually the main spreads are all happening in the detention camp. So it's a cause of concern, yeah.
Certainly. So now looking as well into some of the growth catalysts that Crestbuilder has spoken about before, one of the things that I noticed is that Crestbuilder, you're looking to increase your order book, right? And yes. I think your order book, the last numbers that I have, stood at 1.2 billion ringgit. So what kind of a target are you looking at in the near term?
Okay. Actually, for this year, I actually set a figure of about 500 million early this year, replenishment, because we want to push for more growth in the construction division. But I mean, due to MCO and COVID-19, all this, we have actually reduced this target to about 300 million.
For the first half of this year?
For this year.
I see.
I have to reduce, yeah. I find that this doesn't affect our immediate numbers right now, because we are very thankful that 2019 was a very good year for us in terms of order book replenishment. We secured about 600 plus million. That part actually keeps us very busy going ahead for the next 2 years. But that being said, I think for this year, we are still targeting about 300 million. So we hope to hit something before the end of the year.
What's the state of your tender book looking like at the moment?
This year, we have tendered for almost about 1.8 billion. Actually, in fact, it would have been a bit more, about 2.3, 2.4, but then quite a number of projects were actually deferred because launch held back. So they actually deferred some of these projects. Hence, that's why we actually knocked off those numbers from the tender book. But even that, we actually tendered for about 1.8, of which about almost half are not awarded yet. So we hope to be able to secure something before end of the year.
Okay, and speaking of new product launches, Crestbuilder's also recently acquired land in Bukit Tinggi. And there have been concerns over developers potentially having to push launches because of poor consumer demand. Are you still intent on keeping to your, I believe it was Q1 2021 launch date for the Bukit Tinggi project?
Yes, I think in terms of launch, I mean, the product launch, a lot of people are actually very concerned, I mean, on developer side, but actually, being generally concerned, I think it's maybe it's a bit premature, because you need to look at what type of products we are putting in. See, we are targeting to launch at somehow about just below 500 ringgit per square feet. So in terms of the target market and within the immediate vicinity, just the pricing is actually very attractive. But that being said, if you look at the current situation, of course, we are concerned as well, but this is a good time for us to clear up all the authority submissions, authority issues, and because looking at current situation, from purchase of land to actual launch, you probably need between easily 9 months before you can actually get to the actual first signing of SPA. So we actually just submitted our DO, development order. So we are working closely on that to see how we're targeting to perhaps commence construction on the ground. I hope to be able to commence our Q2 next year. And we're probably targeting a launch but just after Raya next year. Yeah.
I'm speaking with Eric Yong, Managing Director of Crestbuilder Holdings. Up next, a closer look at some of their projects that are currently under development, as well as their property segment. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking with Eric Yong, Managing Director of Crestbuilder Holdings Berhad. Now, Eric, you have a number of upcoming large projects. So the Latitude 8 is one, a JV with Prasarana, Kelana Jaya, the Kelana Jaya LRT redevelopment. And both of these hinge on high flows of traffic, people going to work, for example. But seeing as the working landscape has shifted dramatically, and this change appears to be here to stay, Do you anticipate that there will still be adequate demand for the projects that you have under your belt right now?
I think there is. Of course, like I said, it all depends on what type of product you're offering and what type of facilities and how much open spaces are you giving back. I'll just share with you some of the newer projects that have been launched in recent months. You can see that if back then developers will maximize their net sellable areas, you know, to almost, you're talking about 75-80% efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I think we're looking closer to maybe 60-65% efficiency, where there's a lot more area for open space. I mean, we see like right now, I don't foresee the full-on MCO to come back on, whereby you can't even use the playground. But along the way, I think there's this new norm. People actually avoid going out, but you're still hanging out within housing compound or your condo compound. So there's still a lot of room for this. Like, for example, my BBT, the Bandar Bukit Tinggi project, easily we're looking about almost one-third of the whole space that we are building are all going to be open spaces, facility spaces. We are willing to lower our profit margin, expected profit margins on the development slightly, just to push more for these facilities. I think that's the new demand or the new expectations from housing buyers today, you see.
I mean, looking at your Latitude 8, for example, this consists of a retail podium, there's a business center, convention facilities, but the worry is that we're not going to see conventions really start to pick up in any kind of quantity, similar to what we had previously when the Latitude 8 was obviously in the planning stages. So, you know...
Yeah, correct. I agree on this. I think for the Dangwangi side, actually, we did do a little redesign on the whole layout. In fact, the convention part, we actually scrapped it off, but instead we have got a bit of like a co-working space as well as a business center in place for the convention center, because I think convention center may not be the thing right now. In terms of office spaces as well, we did a bit of redesign on this whole thing. So that's why there's that little delay on the launch as well. I do admit I'm disappointed a bit myself on the delay in the launch, but I think we want to push out the right product for the right market at the right time as well. As if, going ahead, we are targeting to launch this sometime next year. I think we are looking at middle of next year. The targeted sales price also be reduced from about 1,003, 1,004 down to about between 900 to 1,001. I think that's almost about a 20% decrease. Construction is actually, right now we are working on the plans to see how we could actually commence the works early next year.
Mm.
So although the GDV is reduced, but then the profit margins are still about the same. So we are confident, we are very confident now that, I mean, barring any unforeseen circumstances, we do believe that Latitude 8 is a good-to-go project. Yeah.
All right. Now, and of course, you didn't actually have any completed properties sold in Q1 of 2020. Your property segment, do you expect it to pick up at the same pace of your construction segment, particularly considering we have a bit of a property overhang situation in the country and have done for quite a few years at this point?
Property-wise, I think the direction, you can't look at the whole property sector as a single indicator, but I think if you look at property-wise, the high-end ones will definitely be suffering a bit. But the affordable and the middle levels, I think those are still very good to go, because I think there is still a lot of demand for here. I mean, if you look at the current trends of MCO, CMCO, RMCO, while a lot of people are starting to stay together, maybe to continue to get married, those people who have been staying together probably are getting divorced and so on. So, yeah, I mean, you probably see there's a demand in housing, affordable housing, mid-end housing. There's still going to be a lot of demand in this. So I'm confident on this. And I think if you're looking at families' investments, of course, the last 6 months, everyone's talking about share market.
Mm.
But where does that end? You see? Because your FD levels are below 2%. You see? You know, after that, you're very likely you want to look at property. I think property is always the best hedge against inflation. And with property prices being on a big bargain now, 25-30% down, I think the tools are actually very, very good.
Okay. But then property is considerably one of the most illiquid investments that you could possibly consider when it comes to putting in your money, right? But I mean, putting that aside, right, coming back to the affordable housing discussion, because I mean, yes, it has been said that the government is also pushing developers more towards creating affordable housing as opposed to creating more and more high-end housing that isn't getting any buyers. But you are not the only developer looking at the affordable housing segment. If you look at even the center of KL now, you know, even just 5-6 kilometers away from the city center, you have multiple developments coming up, ranging from about 500 to 600 per square foot in price, mm-hmm. which is solidly within the kind of middle range. It's no longer talking high end developments here. So considering we are seeing all of the supply coming onto the market, probably within the next 1 to 2 years, how is that going to affect demand for your projects?
I think in the past, the expectations of affordable housing is they need to be far out. They need to be probably like 30, 40, 50 kilometers out of town. You're talking about Nilai and Sepang, Dengkil, Seremban, and Tanjung Malim, Rawang, and so on. But I think now, I think it's actually absolutely fine to have more affordable housing within the city center area or within the immediate Klang Valley vicinity. I think those are actually good because I noticed one thing. Statistics also show that a lot of younger generations today, buying a car may not necessarily be their first priority today. They are still looking at getting a place to stay and so on. So they may not have cars, but they will still be looking at convenience and in terms of traveling if they need to. And I think with the current new trend, people are working from home and all these things. I mean, among my friends, among my circles, my community circles, I do realize a lot of people are getting lazy to take the long drive to go to work and so on. So it's actually good to have more affordable housing within the Klang Valley area. I mean, I'll give you an example, like my Bandar Bukit Tinggi project. The main target market would be for the immediate Bukit Tinggi Klang vicinity, but also along the way, it is also within about 5-10 minutes walk to two future LRT3 stations. So we find that for those who wish to buy to stay within the area, it's actually good. Or those who wish to buy to, maybe you are working along the LRT line, so you don't even need to own a car. So,
but that's assuming that public transport usage will pick up on the same rate as it did before COVID-19, because it is markedly more difficult to physical distance in an LRT train car than it is in your own car to drive to work.
I do agree on that, but I think to most people, they will see, I mean, especially the newer, younger group, they will find that actually public transport in the long run is definitely cheaper than having a car. I mean, given the choice, if I myself stay in public transport and my office is near a station, I would love to pick public transport every day instead of driving.
All right. Now, looking as well at Crestbuilder's other sources of income, notably, Crestbuilder is a little bit different from some of the other developers because you also do have a concession project for the UiTM Tapah 2 campus. And this was considered one of the bright spots for your company during the MCO period because these payment receipts were guaranteed by the government. Are you looking at perhaps picking up any more of these concessions in future?
I think if there are available concession projects, we would definitely be interested. I mean, we are trying to eye some here and there, but I think due to the little, I would say, the unstable political scene, we are also very wary of the whole situation as well.
Mm. If you were to go for a second concession in future, how much would you be able to borrow to finance such a thing? Because I believe your net gearing in July stood at 92%, which is nearly three times the industry average. But considering you were nevertheless in a net cash position because of the UiTM Tapah 2 concession, I mean, how much room do you have left to maneuver with that kind of borrowings on your cards and with the fixed finance costs that come with it?
Okay, I think for this part, I really take my hats off to my finance and accounts team. I think they have been doing a very good job on this. A lot of people will look at, I mean, same thing. You see, if you look at the Crestbuilder's gearing numbers, it does seem like we are at a pretty high level. But what I share with analysts and friends and fund managers, everyone out there, my shareholders out there, is that, I mean, if you take a closer look, our facilities, our loans are actually all ring-fenced against its individual projects. If you look at the UiTM Tapah, we took a 500 plus million sukuk about 6 years ago, which is ring fence against UITM's rental proceeds. So if anything happens to that, it's only at that subsidiary level, at the project level. And then along the way, we also have got two long-term loans, which are against our investment properties. You see, we have got two office towers that we are keeping for recurring income, which is where my office is, the Crest, as well as the UNITA Kiara Crest in Kananja, which we actually rented out to UNITA University. These two projects have got long-term loans parked against them as well, which are also backed by the rental proceeds. If you knock off these few long-term ring-fence loans, our gearing actually very healthy at about 0.3, 0.2. In fact, it could be slightly lower than an industry average for operations levels. And even the recently, when for the purchase of this Bandar Bukit Tinggi land, we also took a very hefty loan as well, but it's also ring-fenced against the proceeds from the projects. There's no cross-charging or these things. So, I mean, going ahead, if you get any potential concessions opportunities or even land purchase opportunities, I think we can continue to gear up, in fact, so far. Operation-wise, we are in a very solid and, I would say, very stable situation. Yeah.
All right. And now also just very quickly looking at your share price. So Crest Builder Holdings was trading at round about 73 sen, giving you a PE ratio of 4.6 times, which is lower than some of your peers. Garang Holdings is at 9, for example, Nadi's at 10. So what is the reason for this? Do you see your share prices being too low?
I think that maybe that the reason our PE is still very low is because perhaps the counter is not sexy enough, in the sense, I mean, it's not really a punter's counter per se, because I find ourselves maybe too stable, because we are giving very stable dividends already. In fact, we are giving out dividends next month. We are giving out 3.5 cents. That works backwards to about just below 5% dividend. It's a very stable stock, but I don't know, maybe perhaps the retailers are eyeing more on the gloves and other more politically linked counters, as well, more punters counters more, I think, than mine. Of course, on our side, we are trying to improve this. I think that's why we're trying to get more coverage. We are also appealing and talking to and presenting to various institutional funds. We try to get more interest in this. And I think we also try to perhaps improve the liquidity of the stock as well. Yeah.
I mean, you also did have negative 5.6 cent earnings per share. So that's probably a reason for the relative lack of popularity of your counter. But mm-hmm. I guess that would also depend on your earnings in the future as you head into the second half of this year. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning, Eric. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
All right. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Eric Yong, Managing Director of Crest Builder Holdings Berhad. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.